Earlier this month, a horrific story of elder abuse was brought to our attention, and we highlighted it here on WICC, a Griswold couple now facing multiple charges after police say they were housing an elderly family member in their home, but reportedly they were starving this woman, abused her, while also exploiting her for financial benefits. And we learned more about benefits trafficking, which unfortunately has become a rising issue here and across the country. But it led us to connect to another agency that I'm really excited to finally be talking to, the Connecticut Department of Social Services, and the work that this agency does here in Connecticut. Joining me to talk more and give some advice on the show is Dorian Long, and she is the Social Services Program Administration Manager. Dorian, welcome to the show, and thank you for giving us the time.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I want to first start with, how do people detect elder abuse, especially if it's someone who's living alone and maybe having aides come in, or if it is somebody who's living with a loved one, not so much the cases where it's an assisted living home or a nursing home?
Correct. I think one of the things that's important to do is to do your best to stay connected with family members or other individuals that you care about who are older. In many cases, isolation, even when they're living with other folks, can happen. So the best that you can do to make a phone call, an occasional visit, is the best way to kind of get an eye on what's happening. And then when you're looking at actual warning signs based on observation, you're going to be looking for, you know, bruises or physical injuries, untreated medical conditions. Sometimes an elder may present differently when you're speaking with them. Do they seem depressed or anxious or fearful? Is this a change in the way that they engage with you? Are they confused about what's happening with their finances? Do they mention or maybe hint at any concerns regarding those things? And then also their environment, their home. What's the condition of the home? You know, are they able to get access to their a walker or a wheelchair or a cane? Does there appear to be adequate food in the house? Things like that.
And obviously, those are things that I guess you would be able to detect on the actual person, the alleged victim. But are there, yeah. I was kind of wondering, are there also signs with the people who are housing them? So, for example, is there language or are there actions or, you know, say you're going over there, and I think the holidays are such an important time. This could be a really good time to spot if something seems off, just because you are more likely to kind of see the dynamics of a family or the dynamics mm-hmm. of friends. Are there things in the potential aggressor that you should take note and go, oh, that didn't seem kind, or oh, that might be a problem? You know, are there things like that you should also be aware of? Obviously, you know, the victim is certainly one thing to look out for, one person, I should say, to look out for. But anything that you should look for in the potential aggressor?
Absolutely. I would say respect for the elder. How is the elder being treated as far as respect? Are they over-talking the elder? Are they limiting your ability to speak with them or be with them alone? Do they make disparaging comments regarding the elder? Perhaps, you know, they're a burden or it's so difficult or, you know, they're not grateful. Many times folks that are in situations where they're being abused have caretakers that really don't evidence that it's a relationship that they really want to have. So looking for stress and resentment on the part of the caregiver.
Are there, would you say, good opportunities to, in general, check in with the elderly, especially during this time of year, the holidays?
Well, I think that, you know, again, the opportunity to visit, and I think it's a big warning sign if that is something that you're denied to be able to do. But I think elder abuse happens all year round. So the opportunity for you to engage with an elder, elders are much more sophisticated when it comes to technology than they were in years past. You know, the boomers are now our elders. So it's a very different game out there. The elder may have access to a cell phone and, the ability to FaceTime or do other kinds of video chats. You know, is that something that they have access to and are able to do, whether it's at the holidays or on a regular basis?
I'm curious, and again, we have the opportunity of talking to Dorian Long. She is the Social Services Program Administration Manager, and this is with the Connecticut Department of Social Services. Would you say there are higher risks for elder abuse to take place during the winter time because it's colder and there's more isolation, more chance of people staying inside than getting out, and certainly more chance of even people's moods changing, you know, the winter blues or seasonal depression. And that could certainly impact the caretakers, for example. And again, I don't want this to sound like we're attacking caretakers. They're some of the most selfless people on the planet. So I don't want it to sound like that. But, you know, I do want to obviously, you know, address that elder abuse does exist. And if there are ways that we can be more aware of it, I want to do that. So would you say there are higher risks during the wintertime, especially for elder abuse to take place?
Well, yes. And in that, you know, there are higher risks because it's difficult to get out in the winter, right? Like it's cold out. You know, I even think about, you know, loved ones in my life who are older. You know, when it's cold outside, they might not be as inclined to want to engage or go out there, you know, especially when there's truly inclement weather. And then, you know, heating costs are high. That, you know, creates a level of stress. There are holiday expenses, you know, makes it very difficult. And then, you know, the challenges that folks have with their mobility makes it so that maybe folks don't feel safe taking them out, you know, in inclement weather. There may be ice out. So the opportunity to engage with others is much more limited in the winter.
As I had mentioned in the beginning, Dorian, we got a better understanding about benefits trafficking. And I am curious, if a person is believed to have been abused by a caretaker, whoever they're mm-hmm. living with, is there anything that can financially protect the elderly victim from something like benefits trafficking?
Well, usually we would look for someone to have a substitute decision maker that is trusted. I think the challenge is that sometimes you're not aware that someone is not trustworthy until after the fact, right? But we do encourage everyone, because this health conditions and other things can happen to anyone, to identify a trusted individual that can support them in following up on their finances. I think that getting in the habit of being a little bit more open about what's happening or not happening with your finances. You know, I find that folks are very challenged in communicating about their finances, whether they're doing well or not. But it is possible to notify financial institutions. They can set up, you can set up fraud alerts on your accounts. You can obviously, if you're talking about benefits such as, in this case, Social Security, you can contact the Social Security Administration. Folks can get what's called a representative payee for Social Security and other federal benefits as well to support that kind of stuff. But, you know, nothing is a kind of a quick fix, right? So, you know, you have the ability to put those measures in place, but it is definitely something that if folks can do that ahead of time and plan for it, the better.
And Dorian, is there a website or a phone number anywhere if people wanted to report possible elder abuse? Obviously, I would think you'd go to the authorities first. You'd call 911 or would they go to your office? Or is there a place that we could direct people if they are suspecting potential elder abuse?
Absolutely. We have both a toll-free number and we have a web portal to make referrals. So I'll provide the phone number, but we encourage folks to use the online portal because you can make referrals 24 hours a day. So our toll-free number is 1-888-385-4225. So that's our toll-free number for the Protective Services for the Elderly program. We also have an online referral portal, and the website is dss.service.ct.gov/referrals. But if you go to the DSS website under social work, you'll find links to the Protective Services for the Elderly program to get assistance with that.
Well, Dorian, I want to thank you so much for the work that you do as Social Services Program Administration Manager for the Connecticut Department of Social Services. And we thank you so much for having this conversation on WICC.
Glad to do it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. That again is Dorian Long right here on WICC. We're going to be right back.